Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling a big one, the Trinity.
That's right. The idea of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We've looked at some really interesting sources, and the plan is, well, to try and make this core Christian idea make sense, you know, without getting totally bogged down in jargon.
And it's kind of fascinating, isn't it? How many Christians might say they believe in the Trinity, but maybe, practically speaking, well, they might operate more like mere monotheists, as one source put it, maybe with a bit of an impoverished understanding.
Right. So we want to explore what that richness actually is. What does Father, Son, and Holy Spirit really mean?
Exactly. And the first key thing from our reading is that this understanding didn't just pop out of thin air or philosophical debate.
No, it's grounded in revelation, right? In the scriptures. It's about who God is and how he works, how he showed himself.
Think about the early followers. They encountered Jesus. They wrestled with his identity, clearly human, yet something more, divine.
And then came the experience of the Holy Spirit, the one Jesus promised.
So naturally, questions arose. Okay, if Jesus is God, how does he relate to the Father he always spoke of? Are they the same? Different?
And the Spirit. How is the Spirit God too, but also distinct from Jesus and the Father? It's complicated stuff.
Yeah, and it led some, like, back in the 19th century, Schleiermacher, Harnack, to be pretty skeptical.
They basically argued the Trinity wasn't really in the New Testament, didn't they? That it was sort of bolted on later.
Pretty much. But the sources we looked at push back strongly on that. They argue, no, this Trinitarian understanding is like woven into the very fabric of the Bible.
It's not an afterthought, it's central.
Absolutely. Even in the Old Testament, though the word Trinity isn't there.
Okay, let's talk about that. The Old Testament hints.
Well, you've got these interesting plural forms used for God. Elohim, which is plural but often takes a singular verb, or Adonai, Lord.
And those verses like Genesis 1.26, let us make mankind in our image.
Or Isaiah 6.8, who will go for us?
Now, people have tried to explain those away. Maybe God's talking to angels or it's a royal we.
Sure, those theories exist. But theologians like Torrance, Knight, Kuyper, they see these as genuine hints of, let's say, plurality within the Godhead.
And there's that Hebrew word for one, Ehad, in the Shema, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Right. It's not Yachid, which means absolutely singular, like an only child. Ehad often describes a compound unity.
Like in Genesis 2, a man and woman become one flesh, Ehad, two persons, one unity.
Exactly. So the oneness of God in the Old Testament might inherently contain this idea of internal distinction.
You even see a potential glimpse in Genesis 1. God creates Elohim, plural form. God speaks the word, right, Haman, and the Spirit hovers over the water.
That's suggestive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you also have themes like wisdom, the word, the Spirit appearing in various ways, the Shekinah glory, the mysterious servant figure.
Hints pointing towards something more complex than simple singularity.
And Jensen's point that Yahweh is identified by his actions, like the Exodus, these saving acts, start revealing the relational nature of who he is.
Okay, so the Old Testament lays some groundwork. Then we get to the New Testament.
And it explodes, really. Based on the disciples' experience with Jesus and the Spirit, read in light of their scriptures.
The baptism of Jesus seems like a prime example.
Totally. You have the Father's voice from heaven, this is my Son. You have the Son being baptized and the Spirit descending like a dove. All three present, distinct yet united in the event.
And the resurrection is absolutely pivotal.
Immense. It confirms Jesus' identity and is presented as a Trinitarian act.
Mm-hmm.
The Father initiates, the Son is exalted, and the Spirit is powerfully involved, even in the raising itself.
Jensen said the resurrection basically published a new name for God, a name you couldn't grasp without believing in the Trinity.
Right. And the early church quickly used this Father, Son, Spirit understanding as like their identifying marker.
Gregory of Nazianzus had that idea of progressive revelation.
Yeah, that the Father was revealed more clearly in the Old Testament, the Son fully revealed in the New Testament Gospels, and the Spirit's presence and work becoming clearer now in the church's age.
And you just see this Trinitarian grammar all over the New Testament, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Paul's letters, John's Gospel. Think of Paul's blessing in 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
All three named. Or Jesus talking about his unity with the Father in John, or promising the Father will send the Spirit.
Philippians 2, talking about Jesus being in the form of God, then humbling himself, then being exalted by God. It's a relational story.
And, of course, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
One name, three persons, It's foundational for Christian identity and mission, the Missio Dei, God's own mission flowing from his triune nature.
So wrapping this up, the big takeaway seems to be that the Trinity isn't some, you know, philosophical puzzle invented much later.
Not at all. It's rooted deeply in the way God revealed himself throughout Scripture, culminating in Jesus and the sending of the Spirit. It's about who God actually is in his inner life and how he engages with us.
Which brings us to that final thought for our listeners. If God isn't just a solitary monarch, but this dynamic community of love, Father, Son, Spirit, eternally relating,
how might that change things? How might a deeper grasp of that God move you beyond maybe a functionally mere monotheistic view? What does it mean practically to relate to a God who is relationship?
Something to definitely chew on. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.